The next few moments of this program may shock you, but it'll be okay. You probably won't remember much of it anyway. This is Wake Up Carolina on Live 95 and the iCorridor Talk Network.
Hour number four on a Tuesday morning. We promised this for a few days, and we've talked a little bit about it. We've not elaborated extensively, but we have with us a special guest. His name is Dr. Fred David. He is a business professor at Francis Marion University. He's not an ET professor. He's not a UFO professor. He's not a UAP professor. He's a business professor. That gives him some street cred with me to begin with, because those are the only guys that ain't liberal on college campus. Anyway, that's a story for another day. Well, Big Pen has disclosed that. I mean, right. Big Pen has made full disclosure. He said those business guys are always less liberal than some of the other disciplines in the liberal arts. But I want to, Dr. David, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
And thank
good
you
morning.
For coming. Thank you for joining us. I told you a little bit of the story. Someone who read your book kind of cornered me at the gym and asked me if I knew about this revelation or this information that the federal government was going to release sometime in the next not too long. And Tucker Carlson had done a show about it. Several other media members were again discussing it. And I did a little digging after I sat down with this or spoke with the gentleman at the gym. And I want, full disclosure, I come from a place where we hang nicknames on people, whether they want them or not. That was a farmer on the dirt road. I mean, it might have been John Smith, but to us, he was the farmer on the dirt road. He was the UFO guy. You know, he was the guy that always wanted to talk about UFOs, and he was the Corvette guy. All he wanted to talk about was, I mean, and in my place and in my life, we've always just identified people with things that they were known for. And if you were the UFO guy, you were a bit fringy. I mean, you were a little bit out of the mainstream, and that was a guy, man, he believes in those UFOs, and But you've tried to, I think in your book, and I read some of it, you've tried to articulate an argument for someone who believes in a biblical worldview that is not exclusive to a belief in UFOs or, I guess, galaxies and lands far, far away that are inhabited by other living, breathing, maybe not human beings, but some sort of being. So the first question I want to ask you is, what in the world leads a business professor down the road of writing a book about Christianity and its inclusiveness with a belief in UFOs or extraterrestrials?
Well, just the intrigue. I think human nature, the unknown, wanting to get a better grasp of reality. Having grown up in the Methodist church and being a Christian myself, and when you walk out at night, look up into a clear sky, and you see that, and what folks have seen, I've never personally seen a UFO, but so many countless persons have, you start to ask, is this consistent or compatible with Christianity? So I've done a lot of research, interviewing paleontologists, astrophysicists, archaeologists, geologists, and trying to piece together the puzzle to, is it consistent to for UFOs, the potential alien beings out in the universe, is that consistent with traditional biblical beliefs?
And you found?
And I found that that absolutely. I mean, there are over 800 references in the Bible to, they don't call it UFOs, but they refer to these vehicles as spinning wheels or chariots or clouds. And like I say, over 800 Bible verses refer to this at the Annunciation, at the Transfiguration, at the Baptism, at the Exodus, at the a craft was there. All one has to do is read passages like the first four books of Ezekiel. And you have to ask yourself, are all these folks just delusional in the Bible, or are they onto something here? So I think Eric Von Däniken back in the with his book, The Chariots of Gods, really, really had his put his finger on something here. So I've concluded after a couple of decades of research on this topic that indeed it's a fact that UFOs exist. They're manned by beings from outside this solar system.
When you began, you talked about the curiosity you had about things we don't know, things we aren't sure of. I mean, God is similar to that. I've never met God. I mean, I think I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but it's a matter of faith. So when you began this journey, curious about what was out there and was it compatible to a biblical worldview. What sorts of things have you found out that have solidified your belief that indeed there are, or there is something out there that, that is living?
Well, you know, virtually all the astronauts have been quoted, and I have dozens of quotes here in the book, have been asked about UFOs and have acknowledged that they've seen and experienced craft. Many pilots have. I guess thousands of folks have seen these things, and so the extent to which that's compatible with traditional Christianity was the intrigue that motivated me to actually delve into this topic.
So why would the government, why would the U.S. military, the Pentagon, the White House, the Capitol, why would they have an interest in suppressing those sorts of beliefs? So, I mean, and we live in this conspiratorial age. I mean, you know that. I mean, politics are very polarized and divided. If Republicans believe there were UFOs, the Democrats wouldn't, and vice versa. That seems to be how you gain the most political favor. But what is it about suppressing a belief that you think has been the government's intent?
Yeah, well, you know, historically, the government has been fearful of social unrest, and if they were to acknowledge the existence of UFOs and us being not alone in the universe. But increasingly, I mean, even after Roswell, they suppressed that a few days after that, changed their story because of social unrest. And also for national security and reverse engineering purposes, governments will conceal this information to try to reverse engineer these craft, because they have indeed, you know, recovered craft. So the social unrest and the national security are two major reasons why governments will suppress this. But you realize, with the Defense Authorization Act, Intelligence Authorization Act of December 2020, that's 4 months ago, it's part of the COVID-19 relief package. There's a mandate in there for the federal government to release within 180 days. Additional information about UFOs and to come clean on what the cover-up is. I'm not sure the extent that which the release. So June 1 would be the end of the 180 days. So sometime between now, so we're basically 6 or 8 weeks away from, and it could occur at any time. But you know what happened off the coast of San Diego in 2019 with these Navy pilots? Like you said, Tucker Carlson did a show on that. John Scott on Fox News has done a show recently on that. The Navy has come forward and said, you know, these craft are doing things that clearly are not from any terrestrial. I mean, these are extraterrestrial craft. They can go from 0 to 1,000 and do right-hand turns, you know, within a second.
So our engineering, from your perspective, our engineering is inferior, our human intellect is inferior. Do you let your mind wander off into those places? Are they building spacecraft that are far more able than ours? Are they intellectually far superior to the way we digest, consume information? Are they robotic in there? I mean, these are things I think about. Now, I don't express those views publicly because people look at you a little bit funny, but I think naturally we're inclined to wonder if there are people out there, are they smarter than we are? If there are aircraft out there, are they superior to ours?
Well, Dave and I were talking about that for a moment before the show. As you go out at night on a clear night, look up into the sky there, we're not alone. I mean, it would be the epitome of arrogance almost to think we're alone here. And what that means is these entities out there, alien beings, whatever term you want to use, they could be easily a million years more advanced than us. They could be a million years more advanced than us. And sometimes I enjoy watching the Ancient Aliens show on TV. I heard George Tsoukalos, the guy with the dark hair, on there the other day, talking the other day, and he said the Lord that I believe in doesn't need a craft to fly around in, and I thought when he said that, maybe he doesn't need a craft, but he has used a craft. Like I say, there are 800 verses in the Bible. Throughout the Bible where these craft are described quite vividly by dozens of folks, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus, Ezekiel, Elijah, Moses, Jeremiah, Zechariah. So were all these folks delusional, or what are they really talking about here? So I think the government is going to come. I'm hoping to receive more rather than less. And as I say in the book there, I think it's one of the best examples of countries globally cooperating with this cover-up.
What motivated the government to do this? I mean, that would have been before the Trump administration left office. Any idea or behind the scenes, what was anybody pushing? Was there any motivation that said, look, we've got this information, the public needs to know this?
Well, I think it's becoming increasingly difficult to conceal this type of information. I mean, we have cell phones and video footage now that's just undisputable. And I think the federal government of the United States also doesn't want China and other countries to get the jump on this. So I think globally, this information is increasingly going to be released and acknowledged. But the governments don't know what this is. They don't know where they don't know what their intent is or their purpose.
So do you believe that we've had sightings without communication? Do you believe there's a chance that some representative of the government, military, space travel, whatever it may be, do you believe that we've had a closer encounter of the third kind? I'm a Gamecock fan, so here I am on Space Odyssey in 2001. But this is a weird question, but I got to ask it. Do you believe there's a chance that the government is aware of a closer encounter than simply seeing something we can't identify flying at Mach 10 across the sky?
Oh, absolutely. And hopefully some of that will be released in this new document that's going to be forthcoming.
When you say that assuredly, I mean, why are you so sure that we've had some sort of communication with something we don't understand?
Well, even the Roswell event back in 1947 and numerous events similar to that globally in Britain and really around the world where craft have been recovered, reverse engineered, perhaps even bodies. If I had to bet, if I was a betting person, I would say even bodies have been recovered and taken to Wright-Patterson and perhaps Area 51, other places like that globally.
And the government is aware of that. I mean, that's your hunch.
Oh, absolutely.
Are the governments of the world complicit in this? Because obviously the globe's a big place, but you were talking about how many stars there are, how many galaxies they are. We are but a vapor in the wind, despite the enormous size and blessings of this earth. Do you believe that the Chinese government, the American government, the Russian government, as much as we may be geopolitical adversaries, there is some uniformity in how we deal with these situations?
Yeah, I mentioned in the book, I think across countries, it may be one of the best examples of cooperation, actually, across countries. The recognition or belief that to avoid social unrest and also for national security reasons, as I mentioned, to try to reverse engineer and try to develop superior weaponology. But countries have agreed not to come forward. But this is changing. And I think America maybe wants to be on the forefront of the change. It's getting increasingly difficult to keep persons in the dark.
So what do we do with the information if we find out sometime before June the 1st, per a government edict, that indeed the government has not been straight with us, that they've had numerous encounters, they've had some communication, however direct or indirect it may have been? What are we, the people, to do with that information? What changes about the way we live our lives and the way we conduct ourselves?
Well, I don't know that there's much we can do. I mentioned that I'm thinking these entities could be as much as a million years more technologically advanced.
But when you say that, is that based on any analysis, or is that just something you throw out there to be a bit provocative?
The scientists tell us the Earth has been here for roughly 4.5 billion years, and so NASA has been studying Earth-like planets throughout the universe, and they're now thousands of them discovered. And so just in terms of the likelihood of entities having evolved and being maybe as much as a million or 2 million or 10 million years more advanced than we, it's hard to fathom, but that's in all likelihood.
I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second here. And I don't disagree with anything you've said, But there seems to be an arrogance that goes along with modern man in his pursuit of knowledge, his pursuit of understanding. It's almost like the modern man doesn't believe. You talked about God and Christianity and all, and I've used this as an example. If God is 100, you know, and is Einstein a 99 or a 1? And we could argue he's a 1. You know, God is all-knowing. He's all omnipotent. He's all-powerful, all-sovereign. And Einstein, despite his ingenious IQ, what was a 1? Could this be a manifestation of man being full of himself and can accepting that there are things out there he can't comprehend nor understand, and we're trying to make sense of things we don't have the human capacity to make sense? Is that a weird question?
Well, I think the more you know about anything, the more you realize you don't know. And that's
have you accepted that about this journey you're on, trying to figure out what's out there?
Oh, absolutely. Every day's a learning process, and I'm the first one to say, my goodness. I think it also makes persons more tolerant. The more you know about a topic, the more you realize you don't know. And so even topics like reincarnation that I used to think was just a bizarre Far Eastern phenomena, now I'm more open-minded to research about what does happen to our spirit when it leaves the body. And so I haven't ruled that out. I haven't ruled it in. But too many folks, I feel, walk around thinking they have it all figured out. And the nature of reality, again, by just looking up at night, is so complex. We need to be more, I think, more humble, less arrogant, more tolerant.
You're in the field of academia. You're a business professor. Is this something that should be taught to young people? In other words, not indoctrinating one belief or another, but the consideration that there may be things out there that we can't explain, can't understand, but that we are more aware than we've been led to believe. I mean, we all have this instinct to question what's out there, but you're arguing that not only have we questioned what's out there, we've suppressed some of the things we found out. Should this be a matter of academia? Should we train and teach kids these sorts of things?
Well, I think history books, physics, one of the great benefits of the government coming forward with more information here, hopefully in the next 6 weeks, will have an impact on academia in terms of textbooks and articles to acknowledge that this is our best judgment at this point in time, but the world is a complex place. Sometimes history books and some of the sciences present a picture as if take it or leave it, this is it. And I think now with this phenomenon evolving the way it is, academia is going to become more open-minded.
You think it's going to be forced to have to consider covering and talking and dealing with these sorts of things? Grappling, I guess, would be an appropriate word.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a major benefit of the government coming forward with additional information, which I'm expecting them to do within 30 days.
Can you hang on for just a minute? I want to take a break and keep you here one more segment, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Let's take a break, Cato. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds. Dr. Fred David is with us. He's a business professor at Francis Marion University, but today he's our expert or our guest. I'm speaking about the Christian faith, is compatibility or not with UFO sightings and beings in other galaxies and lands far, far away. I want to ask you this. We are conformed to time and space. I mean, you know, God's not. I mean, that's what I believe, that there are no limits to God's timeliness or untimeliness. He's not confined to the very human nature of time and space. Are the aliens more like God in that they're not confined to the way we interpret time and space, or are they less like God? Are they confined to time and space as we are?
Well, I think the laws of physics and chemistry are the same throughout the universe.
So they're not godlike.
So well, God and the Lord Jesus, the angels, in my view, my opinion, based on what I've been able to glean from archaeologists, geologists, astrophysicists, and so forth, do use craft to navigate the universe. And they're the level of technology honed over a million years. I mean, if you just look at, just think where we have come in the last 200 years from a technology perspective, that'd give you an idea where we would be had we been here a million.
But if they're not confined to the laws of gravity and time and space as you and I are they angelic? And that leads me down the road of, are they wearing a black hat or a white hat? Are they the good cowboy or are they the bad cowboy?
Well, you know, Billy Graham wrote a book on the angels, titled The Angels. I read the book. It's a fantastic book. I recommend it to anybody. And Billy Graham acknowledges in the book that when we pass away, we don't like turn into angels or whatever. Angels are beings that are godlike. They're beings from the same tribe, let's say, as God or the Lord. That's what angels are. And angels are the Lord's helpers. And their role here on planet Earth could be, as I mentioned in the book, there could be to answer prayers, manage our spirits when we pass away, keep demonic forces in check. They have a number of roles, angels do, as Billy Graham talks about in his book. And so, but these angels use craft. And so folks often ask me, are these craft that people are seeing globally and have for thousands of years, are they good or are they bad? And I answer that they're both, but the Lord has the bad in check. So I'm thinking, I'm just guessing about 80% of what we see, what people see in terms of UFOs are good. I think that's one of the roles of angels. And you know, in the book of Job and the book of Daniel now, it talks about watchers in there. And watchers are angels. Watchers are angels that went astray from the Lord, didn't follow the Lord's commands. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful on this topic and in society and everywhere with the notion of good and evil.
So when you start down this road, you are a professional person. Along with being a professional comes a reputation. That reputation has to be preserved. Does it worry you that your delving into these sorts of things creates controversy? With that controversy comes a, I don't want to say an impugning of your integrity, but people look at you a little differently. And what has made you willing to say, you know, I don't care what everybody else thinks. This is something that I'm willing to speak out on, something I'm willing to embrace and in pursuit of. You see where I'm headed. I mean, when someone says UFO or someone says, you know, extraterrestrial, half the country roll their eyes and they believe you're a bit of a kook or somewhat of a whack. I mean, I'm sure you've dealt with that. How have you dealt with that and maintain your professional integrity?
Well, you know, I say, Ken, on the back cover and in the front cover here, I think I quote on the back cover here a passage from Romans where the Lord, Romans 12:2, if you read Romans 12:2, basically it says, "And be not conformed to this world, and be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, what it's saying right here, passages like that, is that the Lord expects us to think outside the box, to continually expand our mind and to study and to try to become all that we can become. And so that's what I've tried to do for the last 20 years on this topic right here.
So you think you're honoring God?
I think I'm honoring God by trying to learn more and more and more.
Okay, let me ask you this. So I asked you during the break, and I hope you don't mind disclosing this. So you believe that we have had very intimate encounters. You believe that you know, whomever is out there, whatever is out there, know a lot more about us. We know a lot more about them. And you're wondering how much of that revelation will be disclosed when the government, quote unquote, comes clean.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm doubtful the government's going to come clean very far into that front with regard to interaction with these beings. It wouldn't surprise me that we have interaction with these beings.
I mean, you think we've got physical proof?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely. We have physical proof.
So it isn't a picture of a UFO that looks like a spacecraft moving three times as fast as one of the modern aircrafts of American military. I mean, you think there has been personal, humanistic sort of interaction with aliens?
Absolutely. And both at Roswell and in other encounters like that globally in other countries, particularly Great Britain and Russia, in all likelihood, based on the evidence, bodies were recovered, alien bodies were recovered.
Is there a reason to be afraid?
Well, there's not really, because there's absolutely nothing we can do about this, because of the technological superiority of these beings.
You're convinced of that. I mean, they're not inferior. I mean, there is no doubt in your mind from your research, and you've done it 20 years, there is no doubt that those encounters we've had, we're not in a position of authority. We're not the superior in that encounter. We are intellectually, and I guess when we talk about equipment and flying devices and whatnot, our flying devices are inferior to theirs.
Oh my goodness, absolutely, far inferior. No, there's no way we could even come close to duplicating what's going on with the technology that astronauts have acknowledged. It. I mentioned a dozen astronauts, their quotes, you know, in the book there of what they've seen, and they acknowledge it. This technology is so far beyond what even would be thinkable here on the planet.
Do they have a home base, or do they just fly around the universe in these super craft and just kind of check things out?
Well, that's a great question. If you look at the alignment of Giza and various pyramids and solar Teotihuacan and Pumapunku, Machu Picchu, and other navigational and pyramidal things.
Yeah, that's
past,
what I was going to say. That's exactly what
they
I
align. They align to the Pleiades in terms of home base. Pleiades is a constellation sometimes called the Seven Sisters. They also align quite closely to Orion, and they align really closely to Sirius A and B. That's two stars. So if you were asking me, where do I've had folks, I've done numerous presentations at planetariums and so forth. Sometimes folks will ask me, where do you think heaven is? I tell, well, I think heaven may be in the Pleiades based on earlier encounters with alien beings going back thousands of years.
If there are 330, do we have a call? If there are 300, yep. And I want to take a call if you don't mind.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
If there are 330 million Americans, how many of them are there?
It would be a guess.
Is it a billion? Is it more or less than 330 million?
I would guess in the billions.
So there would be more than 330 million alien beings of some sort.
Absolutely.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to the phone.
Pick up those headphones there, yeah, so you can hear those. And Ryan in Florence. Hey, Ryan, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Knowing what we know, that NASA has come out and said that they haven't really taken any actual photographs of the space and planet Earth, it's all been composite images, do we really believe what NASA says is out there? And from a biblical perspective, does the Bible actually support that cosmology worldview out there? Because from what I've read from the Bible, it doesn't support what NASA is saying. Now hang up and listen.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Okay. Does NASA's reporting or commentary dispute what a biblical worldview is?
Well, I don't think NASA's disputes.
Is NASA to be trusted?
NASA's to be trusted to the extent. We'll see. We'll see. I've mentioned the primary reasons why they've concealed and covered up,
Is NASA the most capable entity we have to track and monitor these sorts of encounters?
Well, NASA, but increasingly private enterprises, you know, probably led by Elon Musk and SpaceX. So even Boeing. So NASA, in conjunction with increasingly private enterprises, are going to be engaging more and more on exploring the moon and Mars and, you know, the outer limits of the solar system.
That's very interesting. Do we have another call?
Looks like it.
And I don't know if we answered the previous guy. I'm bad about interjecting my question in the middle of someone who took the time to call in. Do we have a call? Okay, let's go there.
This is John in Lamar. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. This intrigues me. I have one question, and I'll hang up. If our planes and flying devices aren't equivalent with theirs, but we have theirs, why can't we replicate them? Are we that stupid that we can't replicate their flying devices?
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. If we have recovered their flying devices, maybe one of their, I don't know, I hesitate to call them humans because I'm sure that's not what they're referred to as, but if we have indeed...
Could we learn from that technology?
Can we learn from their technology?
Well, we learn from their technology, but what they're doing, they're using light as a source of power, light and gravity. Now, light travels 186,000 miles per second, so conceivably their craft could travel at that type of... We just aren't there yet. We're learning more every day, but by reverse engineering craft, but we just aren't there yet to come anywhere close to being able to replicate what these things can do.
And you think that there is such a superior inferior disparity, will it freak America out to know that there's something out there that when they decide can execute with some sort of consequence? In other words, if our planes fly at Mach 3 and theirs fly at Mach 300, you know, and our intellect is the average American's IQ is 100 and theirs is 700, are we right for the taking? Would there ever be a time that they'd have an interest in turning Earth into something other than what it is?
Absolutely. We're totally at their mercy. Totally at the mercy of these
beings. But you believe God is sovereign.
But God is sovereign.
No matter how fast their damn planes fly,
right,
no matter how smart those three-foot people are,
yes,
you believe God, that's still God's dominion.
That's still God's dominion, and God is taking care of us. God loves the planet Earth, in my view, and it's taking care of us.
That was going to be my next question. I'm going to be biblical here for a second. I will bless those who bless you and curse those that curse you. Is Earth God's Israel? In this galaxy of which we know so little about,
I think it is the God loves the Earth, and He's taking care of the Earth. He's protecting the Earth, and that's why there's been no.
Why did He make them smarter and fly faster? I mean, if He loves us so much more,
well, because He's been around for millions of years and He's had a chance to refine this. So, but yeah, he's keeping evil forces at bay. He's keeping other beings in the universe at bay. From harming planet Earth. Planet Earth's a very special place for the Lord. It has been for many thousands of years. And He does use craft to help take care of us.
That's interesting. Do we have another call? You got a question, Rev? Because we got to take a break here and pay some bills.
My mind is kind of blown.
Well, I mean, I've got an IQ of 4. So anytime we start down this road.
I mean, when we first started talking about looking into the expanse of space, I mean, that's what interests me. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the space station, watching the space station fly over. But when you see that, you know, and that's human achievement. But when you look beyond,
you know, I still think of my grandfather. I think you'll appreciate this. My granddaddy was not an educated man. He was not ignorant by any stretch, but he was not educated. He never believed we went to the moon. He never believed the sun goes around. You know what I mean? It was always, nah, you know, the Earth doesn't go around the sun. This place, there's 50-50 chance it's flat. But technology and I guess knowledge has gotten to a point where we can legitimately be curious about things. And you've gone on the record. You're not sure of any of these things. I mean, these right. are educated, researched opinions you have,
right.
but you could be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I say, the more you know about any topic, I think the more you realize you don't know. And that's certainly true of this situation
okay.
here.
Thank you for your time. Very
You're
interesting
welcome.
Back and forth. We'll take a break. We'll be back. I know we got some calls. And, I mean, we don't need him to answer these questions. I know all the answers to this world's problems and all the other world's problems. Back in just a minute.